Chapter 1. Journal Entry. May, 1928. Why did I follow General Rockwell to these godforsaken mountains? Just to pay our respects, he said. Fool. But I saw the potential of Twin Springs and convinced the private's widow to sell to the general. He should be grateful. Instead, he gives me a new mission, one without glory that reduces me to commanding servants, not men. Even the mighty general doesn't know about the wealth that runs below Twin Springs. I knew the tide of war had turned in my favor when I caught the colored chef slipping through the secret passageway behind the bookcases. With a little ingenuity, plaster, wooden paint, I created a secret room, my headquarters, from which I'll win this war. From the other side of the wall, everything appears to be on the up and up. My office is an ordinary room with a table, chairs, and an insignificant desk raised on a platform. Only I would think to hide a lever within the desk's small drawers. A simple twist of the knob and I slip into my headquarters to plan. I am a man of caution. In case the perimeter of my headquarters is breached, who'd think to look for another secret passageway? No one. But with the push of a button, an ordinary bookcase reveals a stairway that leads down to my new creative endeavor, running moonshine. I'll have to dispose of the chef. After all, Flamme knows my secrets, but I'll keep him around until the right opportunity presents itself. I might need a patsy to blame for the moonshine. I will lay siege to the general's three daughters, his gems, and vie for their trust and affections. I'll begin with Emerald, plant my seed within her. Then I'll belong, and I can address her as he does, Emma, his sweet Emma. Will be mine. I'll dispose of the other two sisters, guaranteeing that any future descendants who inherit the hotel from this point forward will be my seed. The hotel will belong to me, to my lineage, as it should be. L.T.
Prologue. If Isabella Fairbanks had known that morning would change her life, she would have hidden better, but at the tender age of 8, her friends called her Izzy. Her father was larger than life. Dreams were make-believe. Boys were gross. And ghosts lived only in books. Most of all, she'd be able to live within the safe walls of Twin Springs Hotel and Spa forever and ever. She couldn't have been more wrong. Izzy paused before deciding which wing of Twin Springs' attic to hide in. She picked at the torn wallpaper with her fingernail and nibbled on her lip. Leaning forward, she snuck a glance further down the corridor. The thick mass of her blonde hair swung forward and blocked her vision. Annoyed, she crinkled her nose and shoved it out of her face. The attic's hallway transformed into a playground, and before her stretched a runway of possible hiding places. Decision made, she sped through the seemingly endless hallway. Exhilaration pulsed through her compact body and drowned out the soft thuds of her tennis shoes on the threadbare carpet. Her sisters counting down bounced off the cracked plaster walls. 10, 9, 8! Excitement bubbled within Izzy, and she skidded into a room where an errant ray of early morning sunlight struggled through a window covered with decades of dust, narrowly lighting it. Mindlessly, she crawled over boxes that crunched under her weight and squeezed herself behind a tottering, half-dressed Christmas tree. Something brushed against the back of her hand, almost like a soft breeze. Snatching her hand close to her chest, she sucked in a breath and swallowed a scream. She couldn't believe her eyes. Beside her, in a gauzy pink dress with a white apron tied over top, crouched a young woman, not quite as tall as the security manager's son, Niles. She blinked hard, but the woman was really there.
Gosh, you weren't supposed to play in here, whispered Izzy. It's off limits to guests.
Her sister's countdown sounded off in the distance. 6, 5! The woman's mouth curled up at the corners and her green eyes glittered in the dimly lit room. She pressed a slender finger to her lips and motioned for her to follow. In the distance, Ava yelled out,
"Ready or not, here I come!"
Izzy squeezed her eyes closed, drew her knees in tight to her chest, and scrunched down, Resting her forehead on her jean-clad knees, she clenched her muscles to keep from moving. Every sound, no matter how small, rattled around in her head like nails in a cup. Her sister thundered past the door where she hid. Gradually, she opened her eyes. Tinsel had stuck to her face and she peeled it away. Peering out from behind the tree, she checked to see if the coast was clear. A relieved breath swooshed out of her, and she plopped back down, wiped her dusty hands on her equally dirty white t-shirt, and pushed her hair back to study the woman. Her brow furrowed. How could she get her to leave and not give her away? After all, guests weren't supposed to be in her special place, but she just sat there, staring at her. Her father's phrase of guests first chanted in her head, and the woman's smile grew as if she could hear her thoughts.
I'll help you find your way back to the grand lobby, but you can't tattle and tell my dad that I was playing in the attics. Deal?
The woman nodded, and she could have sworn she whispered within her head,
Deal.
Izzy scrambled over the boxes and paused to check for Ava at the door.
We must make it quick. My sister will call me a cheater if she can't find me up here.
Allowing the woman to follow, she trotted down the hallway to the back stairs, but the woman veered off through a door that she'd never explored. In a mock whisper, Izzy called out,
That's the wrong way!
She chewed on her lip.
Oh, man,
she bellyached to herself. I'm gonna get in trouble if you get lost. She flipped around and chased after her.
Wait!
But the woman ignored her. Further down into the belly of the hotel they wandered. She strolled just ahead and paid no notice to her calls to wait. Jogging to catch up, Izzy skidded to a stop at the end of a hall where double silver doors stood sentry. But the woman was gone. Suddenly uneasy, she pushed up onto tiptoe and stretched to see through one of the circular windows high in each of the doors. Unable to gain enough height, she cracked open a door and peeked inside. With her legs crossed at the knee, the woman was perched on top of a shiny counter. Izzy's heart beat hard against her ribs. Getting caught in the hotel's main kitchen was way worse than playing in the attics. She pushed through the swinging doors.
We're not supposed to play here.
The woman's head tipped to the side, and she grinned. A loose strand of hair fell into her face, and she twisted it up and around the knot of blonde hair piled high on her head.
Hungry?
The woman's voice was super soft, and Izzy leaned in.
What?
Her face lit up with soundless laughter, and she gestured for Izzy to help her gather a mixing bowl, spoon, and ingredients. Izzy broke eggs on the rim of the bowl and allowed the golden white gooiness to seep between her fingers. As she sifted, flour filled the air, floated softly down, and covered the counters in a thin film of white. She added the rest of the ingredients and mixed the batter. Holding the bowl tight against her chest, she carefully folded in the blueberries. With the help of the woman, she turned on the big stove, seasoned her first pan, and learned the sound the batter makes when it hits a pan heated just right. Together, they made blueberry pancakes.
What's your name?
The woman's lips curled with pleasure, and she nodded. She pressed her finger through the flour-covered counter and wrote her name.
Emma,
said Izzy. Her breath blew the flour and erased the letters. Hitting her chest with a flour-whitened hand, she proudly declared,
I'm Izzy.
She bit into one of the pancakes and purred with happiness every time one of the blueberries popped their sweetness into her mouth.
Are you a mom? Did you teach your own daughter how to cook?
A shadow of sadness dimmed the woman's smile, and she shook her head. She stared into the woman's eyes and realized that she'd found not only a new favorite place to play, but also a friend.
You'd be a real good mom. My mom's one of God's angels.
Izzy.
Her father's voice reverberated through the room.
What's going on in here?
Jumping, Izzy dropped the warm pancake onto the counter. Her father stood before her, filling the space of the kitchen with his presence. Niles smirked behind him. She felt there was judgment within the boy's deep brown eyes. Even though he was only a couple years older than Ava, his size belittled his age. Izzy envied his height, but she'd never let him find out. Standing beside Niles, Ava struck a dramatic pose with her hands propped on her hips. The crown of her sister's black hair shimmered within the spread of light, and her gaze sparked with annoyance. Izzy could have sworn that green sparks shot out of her sister's eyes. Right away, she wished her own green eyes could shoot sparks too. At the grand old age of 10, Ava could handle anything. She had a secret superpower that bent others to her will. Izzy nibbled on her lip and silently begged for Ava's help. Their father stepped forward.
I'm waiting for an explanation.
Shifting her pose, Ava grabbed his hand.
Wow, she made breakfast.
She winked at Izzy, slipped under their father's arm, and hugged him.
Cool, huh, Daddy?
I
stammered Izzy. We made blueberry pancakes.
Her father surveyed the mess within the kitchen.
You're covered from head to toe with flour. Who helped you?
Emma.
Izzy turned to introduce her new friend, but she was gone. Her brow furrowed and she bit her lip.
Where did she go?
Niles taunted her.
Dizzy Izzy has an imaginary friend.
Ava pushed him.
Don't call her that.
Her father loomed over her and she felt the joy of cooking leaking out of her. Unsure what else to do, she plucked a warm pancake from the top of the pile and handed it to her father. He bit off a piece and chewed, his attention never deviating from her face, even though the kitchen staff had begun to file into the room for the next shift. His chewing slowed and his gaze glowed brighter. Glancing between her and the pancake, he broke into a smile so gigantic that it crinkled the skin at the corners of his eyes.
Melts in my mouth.
Pleasure coursed through her and warmed her heart. His approval shone over her, and she knew that no boy could ever top her dad. She rushed forward, threw her arms around his waist, and hugged him tight.
I'll never love anyone as much as you.
He crouched down from his massive height, and their green eyes met. He kissed her flower-powdered nose and sniffed her neck.
You smell like vanilla.
She giggled. With a swipe of his finger, he wiped the tip of her nose clean and ordered.
Don't come in here by yourself again.
His grin softened his words.
Make sure you help clean up the mess.
He turned to address the executive chef, who stood tall at the pass, a beacon in his bright white jacket.
Put her to work.
He winked down at her.
Let me know if she gives you any trouble.
Izzy's gaze followed her father, his shoulders pressed back and his stride strong and sure. Following in his footsteps, Niles stuck his tongue out and trailed behind. Returning the insult by sticking out her own tongue, Izzy entwined her fingers with her sister's.
You know, Ava, I'm really going to yell at Emma when I see her again. She snuck out and left me to take all the blame.
Ava's gaze searched the room.
She must have found a really good place to hide.
Izzy ripped the last pancake in half and gave one piece to her sister. Her heart raced with a newfound excitement, a craving that consumed her. She just had to make something else for her father to taste. She must feel the warmth of his approval again.
It's okay,
she muttered, her mouth full of pancake. Emma already showed me the best playground ever. Here. Later that night, as she snuggled into her pillow, her thoughts returned to Emma and cooking. Bit by bit, a dream formed around her, one with an older version of herself. In the distance, the tower's clock began to strike its midnight tune. The air stilled, and the fine blonde hairs on the back of her neck stood. She stiffened. A primal fear that she didn't quite understand seeped into her veins and pumped her heart. One word reverberated through her subconscious. Run. But she had nowhere left to go. Before her rose an impregnable wall of fallen rubble blocking her escape. Her bare feet kicked up dust from the dirt floor as she turned and looked back towards where she had come. She'd trapped herself at the end of the tunnel, like a mouse in a maze, afraid to retrace her steps, but unable to move forward. A vibrating rush of air exploded through the tunnel and propelled her backwards. She lay, unconscious, unmindful of the rocks that fell around her, sealing her in and removing her last hope of escape. Just an hour earlier, she'd laughed in delight as her long, flowing party dress twirled between her and the man she loved. She tasted the sweetness of champagne from his kisses, sensed her beauty reflected in his gaze. Never again. She'd failed. Failed herself and her love. Her chiffon dress was bunched up around her legs, torn and covered with a fine mist of dirt from the blast. Her long hair was no longer in an intricate topknot, but wild and loose around her shoulders. Escaped locks splayed across her face and covered the fresh bruises that bloomed high on her cheekbone. Between the final bongs of the clock, a spiderweb of cracks silently formed in the tunnel walls. Leisurely, warm spring water seeped down the dirt walls and darkened them. Rising around her, the water enveloped her in warm, loving arms and held her until the last breath left her body. Her once bright blonde hair, darkened and wet, reached out along the water's surface, and she floated, encircled by the water's embrace, until time and love no longer held any meaning. Izzy surged up in bed and sucked air into her deprived lungs. From that day forward, no matter how hard she tried, she was unable to hide from the dream.